I was Okay, well, just to add on to what you've been saying, and to link what you've said with this next phrase about Noah walking with God, I was just thinking that, and there probably are several ways to look at this phrase about walking with God, but I would like to suggest this approach, that first to say one more thing, this other thing about being perfect or upright in his generations, that, as we've said, it was worse for Noah than it ever has been for any one of us, because nobody else was even interested in following what was right at all. You know, we say to our children, well, at least try to find some good friends. And if there are people in your class who are doing the wrong thing, you find somebody who's, you know, not getting in trouble or who's doing the right thing, and you stay with them. We have coworkers and so on, or neighbors, and some of them maybe are really obnoxious, rotten people, openly sinful, and they're proud of it and so on, but maybe we can find coworkers who are not like that, or neighbors who are not like that. Noah had nobody who was in that situation. Nobody. Every one of his, could we put it in our terms, every one of his children's classmates would be cheating on tests and doing these kinds of things, and nobody did what was honest. And every one of his neighbors would be, in our day, would be cheating on their taxes or would be trying to get something for nothing and so on like that. Not to make light of it, but just to realize that Noah stood out in these very obvious ways. And I think this seems to be the expression or the meaning of this expression, perfect in his generations. Other translations have it among his generations or among the people of his time. That is to say, he was the one pleasing God, and there was not a single person who was even just morally good, or who was at least not openly exulting in evil. Everybody else, the thoughts of their heart, it said back in verse 5, was only evil continually, as if to say they would wake up in the morning wondering what they could do to somebody else that day, something violent or something corrupt that would please them or that would put somebody else down. So it was really bad in Noah's time. And we might just consider that we sometimes think that we have trouble pleasing the Lord because of the environment in which we live. But think of how bad it was for Noah and how he still could please the Lord. So then, to add on to that, how could he possibly still do the right thing? And I think it's because he walked with God. Sometimes we would approach it this way. Noah was living in a just and upright way, and he followed the rules. And I just like to set in contrast that phrase with walking with God. It's not that he followed the rules, and that's how he could do what was right. It's walking with God. Sometimes we want to guard our families or guard our assemblies, and we want to promote uprightness. And the way we do that is we say, here are the rules. Follow the rules. Don't overstep the boundaries of the rules, and then you'll be pleasing God. The problem is that the rules don't always address every situation that comes up. So then what do we do? But when there's a relationship with the living God, then we know what's right to do at that moment or for that time or with this neighbor or with this classmate. I know I'm not speaking now about just how it is that we walk with God. I'm sure we want to discuss that too. How do we on a daily basis walk with God? But just to suggest this contrast, Noah knew how to remain pure in an impure world because he had nurtured this relationship with God. He was interested in nurturing this relationship with God. He was interested in walking with God. And that's how he would know how to do the right thing. Obviously, God has standards that are very clear, but the way to apply those standards and the way to live in those standards and the way to please God is not by memorizing a list of rules. We have that through the scriptures and very clearly for us in Christianity. It's Christ himself who is our standard, and we want to live like he lived, just following one step at a time. He didn't say, my Father loves me because I always followed his rules. He says, I only say the things that the Father gave me to say. I only do the things the Father gave me to do. We want to live that way, and that's, I think, at least part of walking with God. That's how we'll do the right thing. That's how we'll be good classmates for God. That's how we'll be good neighbors for God, for the Lord, where he's placed us.
Three points I'd like to bring out in walking with God. First of all, the fact that, as our brother pointed out, Noah, in his generation, he was the only one. It brings out the fact that he's a type of Christ. There was only one man on earth that God could look upon who walked step in step with himself. So right away we see a type of Christ in Noah, the only one on earth walking step by step with God. As a fellow man, the fact that we can learn from Noah building this relationship. In building this relationship, you cannot help, but as what Mark said earlier, the character of God will rub off on us. Mm-hmm. Have you ever seen, not too long ago, my daughter, a good friend of hers who lived in Ottawa, moved to Guyana and was down there with her parents for a year in missionary work. And when she came back to Canada, my daughter could not help but to hear the accent. She says, "You're only there a year, and yet you have this accent." The point is that who we walk with, it will rub off on us. So if we're walking with God, then the character of God rubs off on us. And then a testimony of God is portrayed in us. Like the disciples, who it says they took notice they were with Jesus. They didn't take notice in Peter and James and John, but they took notice that the characteristics that they had was that of Jesus. And because they walked with Jesus. So this is the testimony of a walk with God. But another aspect I want us to bring out, he lived in such a corrupt day. Can you imagine the stress and the depression, discouragement all around him as he is building this ark and as he's teaching his children? Now, what does it mean to walk with God in such a day? To walk with God in such a day, it means that God was his companion. God was his refuge, city of refuge, in a time of distress. Turn to Ezekiel for a minute in chapter 11, verse 16. Ezekiel 11, 16. Just one little phrase at the end of the chapter, at the end of the verse. I will be to them as a little sanctuary in the countries where they shall come. The Lord God was Noah's sanctuary in such a distressful day. And the Lord is our sanctuary. If we walk with him, we will talk with him. He will rub off on us. But like Joseph in prison, the Lord was with him. He was his companion and sanctuary in such a dreadful day. May he be that for us as well.
Yeah, the Lord, we just studied that in Isaiah. The same thought comes out. Sanctify, and this is in chapter 8, verse 13. Sanctify the Lord of hosts himself. Let him be your fear. Let him be your dread. He shall be for a sanctuary. Mm-hmm. In a day of declension, in a day of opposition,